Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Chof Beis at the Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side of the Gemara. We read the Nosei heading, and we indicate that it lasts till Omid Beis. Nochri v'Yisrael, ha'im mutur lehonos mimalachto b'Shabbos. A Nochri does something for you, and he is together with a Yisrael, with a Jew. Can the Jew benefit from the activity, from the Malacha that the Nochri did? And in the Mishnah, you'll notice a series of double underlines. These highlight the different malachos, or the different actions that the Nochri did that we want to evaluate. So you can see a case of the Nochri lighting a fire, lighting a candle, a case of him drawing water, which involves hoitzah from a Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and the Nochri building a kevesh, a plank, or a ramp that involves us with a malacha of Malechas Boineh. So now the Mishnah. Nochri shehidlik esaner, a Gentile lights a fire. Mishtamish leoro Yisrael, a Jew can benefit from the candle light. The imbish for Yisrael also. However, if the Nochri lit it for the Jew, then it would be prohibited to benefit from it. And Rashi adds that the Isur here would be an Isur derabonon, a prohibition midrabonon. We learned in our previous shiur the case of the Nochri coming to put out a fire. So we learned over there that you cannot instruct a Nochri to put it out. Here we're going even a step further, where the Nochri did it on behalf of the Jew. We don't necessarily see that the Jew instructed him to do it, but even so, it's forbidden to benefit from his action. Mile mayim lahashkois behemto. The Mishnah continues with the second example. A Gentile drew water, and Rashi points out mibor b'rishus harabim, from a well in a public thoroughfare. So the Gentile drew the water. Mashke achrov Yisrael. The Jew can benefit from the water that the Gentile drew. Ve'im b'shvil Yisrael, aser. If, however, the water was drawn for the Jew, then it would be aser for the Jew to benefit from it. Also, nochri kevish le'rebo. If a Gentile built a ramp from a boat to the shore or to the pier in order for him to alight from the boat, so a Jew that happened to be on the boat can also go down that ramp. That's Yored Achrov Yisrael. A Jew can follow him down the ramp. Of course, it goes without saying, all of these actions that were done by the Gentile, they were done on Shabbos. Now, Maise Barab Gamliel Uzekenim Shoyeboim Besvina, an incident. Actually, we skipped a couple words. Ve'im Bishvil Yisrael, also, if the Gentile made the ramp for the Jew, then it would be prohibited. There was an incident with Rabbi Gamliel and other rabbis on a boat. The also nochri kevesh leirid bo, and the Gentile made a ramp to descend from. V'yordu bo Rabbi Gamliel v'zakenim, and Rabbi Gamliel and Zakenim used the ramp. So that would seem to support the halacha of the Mishnah. Why do we need all of these examples? So the Gemara does what we call a tzrichusa, and this lasts a couple of lines of Gemara, and we call this a point. Call this a long point, as we illustrate to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Utsricha, I need all of these examples. The E Ashmina Ner, had the Mishnah taught the case number one of the candle, that if the Nochri lit it, so a Jew was allowed to benefit from it. Mishum Dener Liecha Ner Lemea. The one candle that's lit is good for one, it's good for 100. Lots of people can benefit from the singular candle. So if the Nochri lit the candle for himself, there's nothing wrong with the Jew benefiting from it, because the Nochri would have had to light it anyway. Avol Mayim. But as far as the issue of the drawing of the water, Ligzar, maybe we should impose a preventive, restrictive measure that the Jew should not benefit from the water that the goy, that the Gentile drew for himself. Dilma osi lafushi bishvil Yisrael. That if the Jew benefits from it, the goy might come to add more for the Jew. So it was therefore necessary for the Mishnah to teach that we don't fear that if the goy's intention is to draw water for himself, and there happens to be leftover water, so there's nothing wrong with the Jew benefiting from it. Even though this gezeirah existed in one's mind. The kevesh lomali, what do I need the case of the kevesh for? Is it not that the kevesh is similar to the ner? And we already explained that if he needs the ramp for himself, so there's no... A ramp is good for one, it's good for many. So what's the chiddush in the case of the kevesh that we didn't already learn from the case of the ner? Answer, Maisa de Rav Gamliel Zakenim Komash Malon. The Mishnah wanted to share an incident, the story involving Rabon Gamliel, so it taught the example of the kevesh as a lead-up to that story. We find in general throughout the Shas that stories that illustrate halachas carry with them a great amount of significance. Tonu Rabbonon. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see the framed section that follows. Nochri Shelikate Asovim, a Gentile who gathered grasses, Machil Achrov Yisrael. Gathering of the grasses, of course, is for the for his animal. So once the Gentile gathered grasses, a Jew is allowed to have his own animal benefit from it. The Rashi says, "Machil Acharov Yisrael es behemto." The Jew can have his animal eat from it. The Acharov dafka nokat bekulhu. The Nochri l'tzorach atzmo of it. In the source, you see. We dashed underline Machil Acharov Yisrael. So Rashi points out that the Acharov is essential for the understanding of this, indicating that in each incident the Jew followed. In other words, the Nochri did it for himself, and whatever was left, the Jew benefited from. We continue in the source. Mile Mayim Lahashkos Behemto, a Nochri filled water to give. His animals to drink. Mile mayim lahashkos behemto mashke achrov Yisrael. The Jew is allowed to give his animals to drink from whatever water is left over. The im bishvil Yisrael. Also, if however the Nochri drew the water for the Jew, it's forbidden. And as we pointed out earlier, the drawing of the water involves drawing from a pit, which is in all likelihood a Rishus HaYochid, and then the surface, the edge of the pit, is a public thoroughfare. So there's an Isser Hoitzah taking place. Therefore, if the goy did it for himself, so the Jew can benefit from whatever leftover water there is. But if he did it for the Jew, that is forbidden. Bamed v'mumurim she'ein makiro. This is all true when the goy does not know, doesn't recognize the Jew. Avo makiro asur. If he, the goy, recognizes the Jew, then it's forbidden. And Rashi adds, Avo makiro asur kosalka daitoch, the ovid nami adaito didem, because there is the feeling that the Jew did it for, that the goy, the havamina, that is, we have to emphasize that that's what Rashi says, kosalka daitoch, it appears that the iser here is because the goy did it also for the Jew in mind, with the Jew in mind. Therefore, if the goy doesn't know the Jew, it's reasonable to assume that he did it for himself. The Gemara asks, Amy, is this true? V'ho amar Rav Huna, amar Rabbi Chanina, ma'amid odom behemto al gabi asovim b'shabos, avoloi al gabi muktze b'shabos. A Jew is allowed to position his animal over grass that's attached to the ground, and the animal simply eats from the grass growing from the ground. But Jew is not allowed to position his animal over what's called mukze. This is animal feed that was set aside for other purposes, we'll say. Mukze is something that you pushed away, that you set aside, and therefore it would be something forbidden to use on Shabbos. And you cannot position your animal over the mukze, over whatever it was, whatever animal feed there is that was set aside, for the fear of the owner, the Jew, feeding it by hand, taking it and giving it to the animal, and that would be forbidden. That's an iser mukze, an iser durabonon of moving something that was set aside. And in that spirit, and Rashi points this out, that which the goy cuts for his animal, as was taught in the source, nochri shalikei asov, and that which the goy collected for his animal that he cut and detached from the ground on Shabbos, well, that is also mukze. After all, when Shabbos set in, it was still attached to the ground. And something that's attached to the ground is strictly forbidden. There's an iser doraisa of kotzer involved in removing it. So when Shabbos set in, this feed that the goy now gathered on Shabbos for his animal is something that is also mukze. So we have a teaching in the name of Rabbi Chanina that you cannot position your animal over mukze. So how can the source teach? Notice we have arrows to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. If you align the arrows, the upper arrow points to a line where it says Machil Achrov Yisrael, where the Jew is allowed to give his animal that which the goy had picked for his own animal, for the goy's animal. The Gemara answers, Dekoyim lo ba'apo, the ozla hi v'ochla. The owner, the Jewish owner of the animal, doesn't position, in other words, the source above that said Machil Achrov Yisrael, it's a case where the owner blocked the animal's path so that he had no other place to go other than to take from that which was left over by the goy featured in the source. But the owner is not standing next to the animal where the grasses that the goy had cut for his animal are available. Because in fact, as Rabbi Chanina teaches, if the owner is close by, the fear is that he will pick up the mukze food and give it to his animal. Omar Mor. We saw this quoted above. Bamed v'murim she'ein makiro. Avo Makiro Asur. This we saw in this source, just a few lines up, that the heter for the Jew to benefit from that which is left over is if the goy doesn't know the Jew. But if the goy knows the Jew, so then we said there is a restriction to benefit. The Gemara asks, Ha Rabbo Gamliel Makiro Have? The case involving Rabbo Gamliel, we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the star above, back into the Mishnah, where the incident involving Rabbo Gamliel and the Zakenim, well, is it not so that the Goy knew Rabbo Gamliel, and yet Rabbo Gamliel did benefit from what the Goy did? So how can you make this distinction of Makiro versus Ein Makiro? Omar Abaye. Abaye represents the first of two explanations. Sheloi Befonov Have. When the Goy built the ramp, he built it not in the presence of Rabbo Gamliel. Rabbo Gamliel was not there, so that there is no room for thinking that the Goy made it with Rabbo Gamliel in mind. Rova Omar, a second approach, Afilu Temo Bifonov, even if you say that the Goy built the ramp in the presence of Rabbo Gamliel, nevertheless, Ner Liechod Ner Lumeo. That's a borrowed expression, which literally is a candle that you make for yourself, can benefit many others as well. For our purposes, the Goy needed the Kevish, the ramp, for himself. So even if he had Rabbo Gamliel in mind, he made it for himself. The fact that Rabbo Gamliel benefited from that doesn't change the fact that the Goy would have made it anyway for himself. However, and here Rashi adds something that is of extraordinary importance, and it's worth looking at Rashi together. Dibor Maschil, Ner Liechod Ner Lameya, Kevesh Liechod Kevesh Lameya. The ramp that's good for one is good for 100 others. Avol, Gabi Asovim. And here Rashi's emphasizing, which you don't see in the Gemara, but in the case of the grasses, and that's what the phrase before of the distinction between Makiro and Ein Makiro was in the case of the picking of the grasses or the drawing of the water. In those cases, Kishihu Makiro Marbe Bishvila, where the Goy knows, recognizes the Jew that's there, so the Goy will draw or will cut more grass for the Jew. There, it's not an issue of a fixed amount that's good for one and good for many. There, you're dealing with a malacha that, based on the number of people, there will be more malacha done. So that's why in the source the distinction is made between Makiro versus Ein Makiro. Let us continue in the Gemara. You'll notice that we have a new marking. And this is a triangle marking, which indicates a series. These are going to be questions on what we've seen now so far, Abaye and Rava, and we'll have to focus the question of exactly on whom it's being asked. So we first have a source, Omar Lohen Rav Gamliel, Hoyol Vishaloi Bifonenu Aso Nere Bo. From this source, you see that the heter is because in the case of Rabbo Gamliel and the ramp, because the ramp was made not in our presence. Well, that is what Abaye explained. This then would be a kasha on Rava. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Hoyol v'shelo b'fonenu kasha l'Rava d'shaminon mino. The Bifon of Osir. We see from here that if Rabbo Gamliel was present, then it would have been Osir for him to benefit from the ramp. V'afalpi she'ein kan marbe b'shvilo, even though you don't have the svara of he might add more. As we said, it's a ramp for one is a ramp for many. But that doesn't seem to be the basis of the heter. But rather, the basis of the heter is shelo b'fonenu. That's what Abaye said. It's not like Rava, though. So the Gemara answers, Emo, hoyul ve'asa'oi nered bo. Rashi explains that the heter for Rabbi Gamliel was not because it was shelo b'fonav, but rather it's because it was made. The source that said shelo b'fonenu, that is what in fact happened in the story. It was shelo b'fonav, but that's not the reason. The reason is, as Rava explained, because a ramp for one is a ramp for many, and the goy needed it for himself anyway, even if Rabbi Gamliel was not there, and there is no issue here of Shema Yarbe Bishvilo. Toshma, Ir Shisrav Nochrim Dorin Besocha, a city in which Jews and Gentiles live together, Voisa Bo Merchatz Hamrachetzis Bishabbos, and there was a bathhouse that was operating on Shabbos, and the bathhouse involves the boiling up of water for the bathhouse purposes. Im roiv nochrim, if the majority of the community are Gentiles, mutar lirchoitz bo miad, the Jews can use it immediately on Motzoi Shabbos, on Saturday night, with immediately, that is, immediately as Shabbos departs. Im roiv Yisrael, if, however, the majority of the community are Jews, then yamtin b'chdei shi'chamu chamin. Jews are not allowed to use the bathhouse until they wait the amount of time it would take to boil up the water there. So if it takes an hour to prepare the bathhouse for use, so the Jews would be allowed to use the bathhouse only an hour after Shabbos departs, so as not to benefit from the fact that a melacha was done on Shabbos. How do you demonstrate this lack of benefit? By not using it immediately after Shabbos, but rather using it the amount of time it would take to prepare it from after Shabbos till it becomes useful. Now, we want to point out that this halacha of needing to wait is necessary, even though boiling up the water, the same effort needed to boil up the water for one is the same effort to boil up the water for many. Just let's assume that there's a kettle with a fixed amount of water in there, and it doesn't matter if one person would use the bathhouse or 100 people use the bathhouse. The steam that's in the steam room is going to service one and service 100 in the same way. So, and yet that doesn't seem to be a basis of allowing immediate use. So this point is a kasha on this is a kasha on Rava. And a second point is that the bathhouse was heated up shelo b'fonav. The Jews weren't there. It just says that if the community is rov Jewish, so you still cannot benefit, even though it was shelo b'fonav. And that is a kasha on Abaye, who said that if it's shelo b'fonav, so then things are mutter. Here we don't see that. So this source, and we said at the outset of this section of Gemara that we have to define the triangles. They are kashas on whom? So this source represents a kasha on both. The Gemara, both, that is, Abaye and Rava. The Gemara responds, Hosam ki mechamami, adaita de rubo mechamami. When the waters were being boiled up, they were being boiled up with having in mind the majority, so that the majority of the Jews of the community were Jews, so that we say that the water was boiled up specifically for the Jews. So that's a case of a melacha done by a goy for a Jew, and we said it's also for a Jew to benefit from melachas done for him by a goy. We look at the Rashi across from here. Adaita de ruba mechami, the ikur chil haShabbos bishvilam. The primary Shabbos violation was done for them, for the majority, in this case Jews. Avol nochri v'Yisrael, But a case where there is a Jew and a goy, the nochriya daita de nafshehu de avid, where the goy did a molocha for himself, shari, it is mutter for the Jew to benefit from that. Once again, where the nochri did it for himself, and that's what we want to emphasize in this Rashi, where adaita de nafshe he did it, then labaye, it'll be mutter if the Jew was not shilo b'funav, was not present. Well, the rava afilu b'funav, if it's a type of malacha that is beneficial for many, so it will be mutter for the Jew to benefit from it, even if the Jew is present, based on the concept of ner liach or ner lemea. To sound a little repetitive, in the case of the bathhouse, it's we're not there. The bathhouse attendant wasn't boiling up the water for himself. He's a worker there and who operates a bathhouse. So when he was operating it, when he was boiling up the water, he had in mind the Jew. He was doing it for the Jewish population as they were the rove. That's why it's also to benefit from it. Bichtei shiasu, the amount of time to do the action would have to be delayed. Motzoi Shabbos. Ta shma, ner hadoluk b'mesiba, a candle that is burning in a amongst for a gathering of people. Mesiba shel b'nei adam is a gathering of people. Im roiv nochrim mutter lishtamish laora, if the majority are Gentiles, so it's mutter to benefit from the candle. Im roiv Yisrael aser, if the majority are Jews, it's aser. Mechtzo amechtzo aser, and if it's 50-50, it's also aser. The Rashi at the bottom, second line from the bottom, im roiv Yisrael aser. Here is a case where it's similar to Makiro, that the Jew is recognized, is familiar to the Goy. Hoyol veruba ninhu, since the majority are Jews, that's why it's reasonable to assume it's a case of Makiro. Asik daite lahadlik af bishvilam, it occurs to the one who lit the candle to light for them as well. Vikotani usur, and it says that it is forbidden. Now we want to repeat or to mention, just like we saw earlier, it is forbidden even though there is the concept of ner liachod ner lemea. The candle would have to be lit anyway for a singular goy. But that doesn't seem to help, since there is the case of Makiro. And the fact that it's Shilo Bafonov, when the candle was lit, it's not necessarily so that the majority of the Jews were there, and yet it's Usser. So this is a kasha then, both on Abaye and Rova. The Gemara answers, Hosam Nami Ki Madliki. There, too, in the case of the candle being lit, when it was lit, Adaita Deruba Madliki, it was lit specifically with the majority in mind. It was lit for them. Rashi at the top, Adaita Deruba Hilkoch Yisrael Iker, Umechsa Mechsa Nami, a case of 50-50, by the way, Yisrael Iker means the Jew is the main reason for his lighting. And 50-50 also, Leko Lemekam Alo de Milso, it's impossible for us to establish exactly for whom it was lit. Iko Lemeim or Iker Daite, the Mablik Bishvil Yisrael, Iko Lemeim or Iker Daite, the Mablik Bishvil Nochri. You could say that the Iker, the main intention was for the Jews, or for the Goy, Avo Nochri Yisrael. Notice how Rashi is so precise. But in the case of a Jew and a Goy, where the one who's lighting the candle is lighting it for himself, see, that's what was not the case in the Ner Hadoluk B'Mesiba, on the source at the bottom of Omer Aleph. There, someone lit a candle, but not for himself. But where the Goy lit it for himself, Vadai ikur daito didei of it. He did it obviously for himself. The kevon de nerli echad nerli mea shorin. Since a candle is good for one, the candle that's good for one is good for 100. It is therefore mutter. And likewise, we can add the svara as well as shelo befonav that Abaye had mentioned as well. Shmuel ikla. We continue in the Gemara at the top line. Shmuel ikla lebe avi turin. He went to Bay of Ovin in Toren. Toren, Rashi says, the name of a place. Also, Hahu Nochri, Adlik Shroga, a goy came and lit a candle. Hadrinu Shmuel Lape. Shmuel turned away so as not to benefit from the light. Kevin de Choza de Aisi Shtar Vikokori, when Shmuel noticed that the Gentile who lit the candle brought a document and started reading from it. And of course, all of this is on Shabbos. Omar Shmuel then figured, Adaito de Nafshehu de Adlik, the goy lit it for himself. Ahadrinu ihu lape gabi shroga. So Shmuel at that point turned toward the candle as well and benefited from its light. That is the end of Perek Kol HaKelim, the 16th Perek. And with this we begin the next Perek, Perek Kol HaKelim, the 17th Perek of Shabbos. The Mishnah. Kol HaKelim Nitlin B'Shabbos V'dal Suseni Mohem. All vessels can be moved around on Shabbos, and they're literally their doors or their lids as well. Afapi Shen Nisparku, even if they became detached. The lids or the entrance, the doors to the vessels became detached. They can still be moved around. The Mishnah goes on to say, She'enon doimin ledalsus habayis. Doors to vessels are not halachically similar to doors to houses. Lefi she'enon min hamuchon. Doors of houses are not muchon, they're not prepared for movement. Let's take a look at Rashi, who explains a little bit more. Afal pi shenisparku, hadalsus adlosus min hakelim, even though the lids or the doors to the vessels became detached, nitlin, they can be moved around on Shabbos. The ein doimin ledalsus habayis, they're not similar to the laws concerning doors of houses, she'ein nitlin. Those you cannot move around on Shabbos. In other words, if a door became detached from a house, you can't move it around. The fi shedalsus habayis einon min hamuchon letaltel. They're not there. They're not set aside. They're not reserved or available for movement. She'enon kli. They are not vessels. They are part of the house. And if it becomes detached from the house, it has no Shabbos value. Aval elu hein kli agavavian, but the lids or doorways to vessels are considered kalim along with the parent vessel to which they are attached. So even if they became detached, they don't lose their kli status. The Mishnah continues, Noitel odom kurnas. The fatzea bo es egoizim. Rashi uses an expression, a French word for cornus, martel, which is in the realm of a hammer, we can say. The Gemara is going to deal with the type of cornus and present four different opinions. So in the meantime, we'll just continue with the Mishnah, which just said you can move a hammer for cutting or for smashing open nuts. Kardoim, you can, this is a no-tail odom, so to speak. Kardom, lachtoch bo es hadvela. Kardom is a type of hatchet. He can use a hatchet, even though these kalim that the Mishnah is featuring, the cornus and the kardom, and we'll see a couple more vessels as we go on in the Mishnah, and that's pretty much the point of this Mishnah, that vessels that are not designed for Shabbos use, but they can be used for Shabbos purposes, so you're allowed to move them. So the hatchet can be used, if you're moving it, lachtoch bo es advela, for cutting a cake of pressed figs. Pressed figs that are pressed into a dveil, into this cake form, are very hard, and in order to cut them, you would need something like a kardom. Megera. Megera is a saw. Lagur bo es hagvina. To saw off a piece of hard cheese. Apparently the cheese described by the Mishnah was very hard, and you would need a saw. So even though a saw is not a vessel designed for cheese cutting, but since it is mutter to cut cheese on Shabbos, you're allowed to use a saw. Magrefa, ligroif bo es hagrogros. Magrefa is translated as a spade for grogros. Grogros is to grogros are dried figs, so it's to scoop out dried figs from a barrel of dried figs. Es harachas ve'es ha'malgeis loses olav lekoton. One can move a rachas, a winnowing shovel, or a malgeis, a pitchfork, even though these are vessels designed for non-Shabbos purposes, you can use them, in this case, for extending food to a child. Es hakush ves hakaker. Rashi explains these with French words. The kush and kaker are items that are used in the in fabric making, in the weaving process. Obviously, not a non-Shabbos activity, but you can move them around. Lit choiv bo, to stick, to use them to stick into food. Rashi says, litchov bo, lechol bo, tutim, v'chol pri rach. In other words, you might stick this into some type of a soft fruit and use and eat with it. Machat, when it comes to a needle, there are two kinds of needles featured. There's a machat shel yad, and you can see there's a shel sakoin. It's a machat shel sakoin where we have our little bays letter. So the machat shel yad, lito boesakot. So machat shel yad would be commonly known as a sewing needle, which are, generally speaking, small needles. And sewing, of course, is a forbidden Shabbos activity, but you can move around the needle for removing a splinter, which is a mutter activity on Shabbos. V'shel sakoyim, this is a larger needle. It's a needle made in for sewing sackcloth. That kind of needle can be used liftoach bo es hadeles. For someone who lost a key, he would be able to pick a lock with this kind of needle, and hence it's mutter to use on Shabbos for that purpose. So we have a Mishnah, as the Perek suggests. These are laws concerning the movement of vessels. When are you allowed to move around vessels, even though their Shabbos, their design purpose is not for Shabbos use? We will see a famous expression used a little later in the Gemara. Kli shemlachto le'iser, a kli which is designed for usur purposes, and how and when you're allowed to use them. The Gemara. The Gemara opens up with a question that lasts a couple of lines, as is indicated to the side of the Gemara text. Kol hakelim nidlin, v'afalpi shenisparku b'Shabbos. The Mishnah said, or let's say the Mishnah implied, the Mishnah had said, afalpi shenisparku, so we're taking that to understand that the vessels, it says, the Mishnah says that vessels are moved even though they came apart on Shabbos. So that the chiddush is, even though the lids became detached on Shabbos, it's mutter to move the lids around. The lo mi baya b'chol, are we to understand that it's more obvious that if they became detached on a weekday, it would even be more allowed? In other words, it would be simpler to allow that situation? Adarabba, to the contrary. B'Shabbos, if they became detached on Shabbos, well, Muchonim al Gabi Avien, at the entrance of Shabbos, when Shabbos was ushered in, they were part of the vessel. And that's what is implied, and therefore mutter. It's all the more reason for being lenient. They were muchon, they were prepared, together with the parent vessel. They were a complete whole vessel at the entrance of Shabbos. So the fact that it became detached on Shabbos is actually the reason for being more lenient. Bechoyol, if, however, they became detached during the weekday, so the lid was not part of a functioning vessel as Shabbos entered. Ein muchonin al gabi avihen. They are not prepared together with the parent vessel. So the impression that we get from the Mishnah is simply inaccurate, because the Mishnah is giving the impression that it's a bigger chiddush that we're allowing the lid that became detached, allowing the movement of the door to the vessel that became detached on Shabbos. Omar Abaye answers, Hochi komar, thusly we are to understand the Mishnah. And that's why we have a frame around the next couple lines as the Gemara's understanding of the Tanaic source of the Mishnah. So he says, Hochi komar, kol hakelim nitlin b'Shabbos v'dalsaseni mohen. All vessels can be moved on Shabbos, and their lids as well. Afalpi shenisparku b'choil, even though they became detached on a weekday, nitlin b'Shabbos, they can still be moved around on Shabbos. Rashi, we will find to be very helpful. So let's look at what he says. Ochi ko'omar, v'afalpi, the word v'afalpi that appeared in the Mishnah, lo arabusa the nisparku b'Shabbos koi. It's not going on, it's not attached or referring to the expression of becoming detached on Shabbos. Ela arabusa the nisparku. The chiddush of moving the lid is even though it became detached, when that's not the point of emphasis. O b'chol, oy b'Shabbos koi. And the chiddush is v'lo mibayo k'shein mechuborin. And what is obvious, what doesn't have to be told, is that the lid can be moved with the vessel when it is attached to the vessel. The Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Deles shel shida v'shel teva v'shel migdal, Noitlin avolo machzirin. The door to a Shida Teva or Migdal are different types of chests or boxes. So the door can be, notlin is removed, but not put back. Avolo machzirin. So you can remove it and not put it back. And when we speak about removing it, we're talking about removing it from its, what it would, from its hinges, it would appear. And you can't put it back. Vishel lul shel tarnagolim, a deles, a door to a chicken coop, lo notlin velo machzirin. You don't remove it, and if it were detached, you don't put it back. We now have a question that lasts a couple of lines, as you can notice from our marking. Bishlamo shel lul shel tarnagolim. I understand that case. Kosovar kivon de mechabri bara yesh binyan bekarka v'yesh stira bekarka. Since the chicken coop is attached to the ground, it's a structure attached to the ground. There is a halacha, a malacha of Shabbos called binyan, and the concept of binyan applies to things that are attached to the karka. So there's binyan bekarka, that would be the attaching of a door to a ground-attached structure, and stira would be the removal of the door from something attached to the ground, or a structure attached to the ground, a building, and in this case, a chicken coop. Elo, shel shida v'shel tevo shel migdal, mai kosovar. what is the rule governing the halacha taught in the source regarding the door to the different kinds of chests? E kosavar yesh binyan bekelim. If the Tana is of the opinion that the halacha of binyan applies to vessels as well as to the karka, then yesh stira bekelim, then there would also be the halacha of stiras, the undoing or the destruction, the breaking down of a structure. And stira is also a malacha. Stira is the undoing of a binyan, which is, as we said, these are malachos. So if you say that the concept of binyan is applicable to kalim, so the concept of stira is also applicable. And that is why we don't understand the source. So why does it say that you can take off the door? The E, ain, stira b'kalim. And if you say that the Malach of stira does not apply to vessels, then ain binyan bekelim. There's no halach of boina either, no iser of boina either when it comes to vessels. So why does the source say lo machzirin, that you can't put back the door on the vessel? As to a way to explain this source, we have a couple of approaches. You can see we have diamonds that are featured under our Mivneh heading on the side, where we say these are two deos regarding this topic. Omar Abaye, La'olam kosavar yesh binyan bekelim v'yesh stira bekelim. The halacha of bone, according to this Tana that we quoted above, the halacha of bone applies to vessels as well. And in terms of the reading of the source, v'shenit lu ko'amar, the source is telling us that instead of the word notlin in the source, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Just align this with the arrow above, and it's pointing to a line that had originally said notlin avalo machzirim. So instead of reading notlin, you read vishenitlu, that the doors that of these chests that were removed, not that you're allowed to remove it, you're not allowed to remove it because yesh binyan bekelim, but doors that became removed, so the source says you cannot put them on. Omar le Rava. Rava addresses Abaye and says, shtei tshuvos badover, two responses, two objections to what you said. One, Aleph, chada de noitlin ko'omar. The word is not vishenitlu, but it says notlin. You are allowed to actively remove the oid. And even according to what you're saying, it says vishenitlu, my avol lo machzirin. The source is trying to give a contrast in actions. So the continuation of the source that says avol lo machzirin, but you're not allowed to put it back, that's in contrast to an action that one must have, one did. But the way you are reading the source, no action took place. No person action took place. Shenitlu means they have been removed. Or more, to be more focused in this, in the problem, we look in the Rashi, my avol, kevon delo tona notlin, according to your reading, since it doesn't say you are allowed to take it off, then lo shayach l'misni avol, then there's no room for a contrast expression of what you are not allowed to do. So the avol, which is a contrast expression, would be out of place according to your reading of the source. Elo Omar Rava. Kosovar, Rava disagrees with Abaye and says, Kosovar ein binyan bekelim, the ein stira bekelim. The halacha of binyan and stira does not apply to vessels. So then, if that's the case, why ein machzirin? Why can't you put the door of a vessel back onto it? Ugzero shemo yiska. What we're afraid of is that when you reattach a door to a vessel, you might attach it in a firm, strong fashion. And Yiska is litkoa, is to attach forcefully or strongly, and that, Rashi says, is a gemar malocha. That's called completing the vessel. And the prohibition in completing vessels is called makeh bepatish. So there's an isser of makeh bepatish that is involved or could be violated if we were to allow machzirin. So as according to Rava, we don't allow even the loose attachment of a door to a vessel, because by allowing that, you might come to firmly attaching it, and that would be an isur doraisa of makeh bepatish. Makeh bepatish is, as we said, is the final act in completing a vessel. Literally, the term makeh bepatish means hitting with a hammer, but we've already discussed what the significance of that phrase was, but it really is a reference to the completion of any vessel. Notel odom kurnus v'chule. On the side of the Gemara, we have a no-say heading, and we've written Roman numeral number 1, kurnus lefatzea boegozim. The Mishnah mentioned the use of a hammer for smashing nuts. Ezo min kurnus. What kind of kurnus are we going to talk about? And we will see in the course of the Gemara 4 of them. De'egoizim, a nut hammer. Napochim, a blacksmith's hammer. Zahovim, a goldsmith's hammer. And basomim, a spice hammer. But we will also talk about the topic of kli shemalachto le'isser, a vessel whose specific purpose is for non-allowed Shabbos activities. A kli shemalachto le'isser would include something like a scissors or a pen. Scissors is designed for cutting things, cutting fabrics, which is an isser on Shabbos, and a pen is designed for writing, which is an isser on Shabbos, which is prohibited. The double underline that appears in the Gemara is explained under the Mivneh heading. These are deos, behesber, beisik, kurnus, medubra, menishna. These are the opinions, and as we mentioned, there are 4 opinions, and if you scan ahead, going over to Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph as well, you will see 4 of these double underlines. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, kurnus shel egoizim lefatzea boi eso egoizim. The hammer described in the Mishnah is actually a nut hammer. It's designed for cracking nuts. Avol shel napochim lo, but a blacksmith's hammer would not be allowed to be used for cracking nuts. Kosovar, according to Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah is of the opinion, Dovar shemalachto le'isser, an item which is designed for prohibited Shabbos activities, afilu l'tzorch gufo osur, even if you are using the vessel using the vessel itself. L'tzorch gufo means using the vessel itself for a mutter activity, one is not allowed. The Rashi, 3 lines from the bottom, Letzorach gufo, shegufo tzorach. You need the item itself, the body itself of the vessel. Shegufo tzorach oid lemalocha achiris shelheter, for a different malocha, for a different action that happens to be allowed. Nevertheless, ein metaltelin oso l'osa malocha. You're not allowed to move around this kli shemalachto le'isser for the heter malocha. That's actually a contradiction in terms, but Rashi uses that term for the heter activity. The kol shekein im ein tzorach legufo elo lefanos mekomu de ein metaltelin. And this logic says that you would certainly not be allowed to move the kli shemalachto le'isser if your only purpose is because you need the space that it currently occupies. That's called tzorech mekomo. This approach is of the opinion that moving a vessel, that kli shemalachto le'isser, L'tzorach gufo is prohibited, and that being the case, certainly L'tzorach makomo. This approach makes a distinction, not on a practical level, but on a logical level, that if you're not allowed to use it letzorach gufo, then you certainly would not be allowed to move it if all you are interested in is freeing the place that it currently occupies. We continue in the Gemara. Omar lei Rabba elomeyato. Rabba addresses Rabbi Yehuda and says, "Well, if that be the case, seifa dekotoni v'es horachas v'es ha'malgeis loseis alav lekoton." Two more vessels that were featured in the Mishnah, a rachas and a malgeis. Rachas u'malgeis mi miyachti lei lekoton. Is there such a thing as a winnowing shovel or pitchfork that are designed for children, that are designed for feeding kids? In other words, the other kelim in the Mishnah, one can imagine. For example, you can imagine a cheese saw or a devela hatchet. Those you can imagine. But what about these? A pitchfork and a winnowing shovel. And what Rava is saying, that since you can't imagine them being designed for a katan, they are what they are. They are winnowing shovels and pitchforks, which are vessels that are used for Osir Shabbos activities. It's also to winnow grains on Shabbos. And yet the Mishnah features the use of this kli, who's designed for a meleches iser, and you are nevertheless using it to feed, to extend food on that's balanced on it to a child. Therefore, the Gemara goes on, Elo Omar Rabba, the second opinion, regarding the kornis, is kornis shel napochim lefatzeh bo egozim. The Mishnah is giving license to the use of a blacksmith's hammer for a mutter activity for cracking nuts. Kosovar, the Tana is of the opinion, we continue at the top of Kuf Chof Gimel, Dovar Shemalachto Le'isir Letzorach Gufo Mutter. The Tana is of the opinion that a vessel that's designed for a Shabbos, prohibited Shabbos activity, if you are using the vessel itself for a mutter, for an allowed activity, that is okay. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a new marking. The triangle that is featured here is explained on the side. You notice under our Mivneh heading, Kushios al ha denemar de kli shemlachto liser letzorach gufo mutter letaltalo. We will be challenging that which we dashed underlined here at the top line with questions. The Gemara, Esve Abaye Larabba. Rabba was the author of this idea that a kli shemlachto liser letzorach gufo is allowed. Abaye challenges Rabba with the following source. Maducha. Maducha is a grinder. Im yesh bo shum. Metalklinosol. If the grinder has in it garlic, someone ground garlic using this grinder, so you can move it around. Of course, one is not allowed to grind garlic on Shabbos, so we're talking about a grinder that has in it ground garlic. You are allowed to use ground garlic on Shabbos, so you can move it around. The im lav, if you don't have garlic in the maducha, ein metaltalin osa, you cannot move it around. Rashi explains on the second line from the top, im yesh bo shum, if the grinder has garlic in it, metaltalin osa agav hashum, you can move it around for some other heter purpose, because of the presence of the garlic, which is an allowed substance. The imlav, if there is no garlic, ein metaltalin, you can't move around the grinder, kagon leishev oleo, you might have thought to move it to sit on it, use it as a makeshift stool. You can't move it though. Kevon de ikur melachto lishchika, dehi meleches iser mishum tochein. Why can you not move it around if there's no garlic? Because the kli, the vessel, is designed for grinding, which is not allowed on Shabbos. So we're seeing in this source a kli shemalachto liisur letzorech gufo is usur, challenge to Rabbah. Omale, Rabbah answers, ha money, Rebbe Nechemyahi. This source is a singular opinion, the opinion of Rebbe Nechemyah. The Omar ein kli nital ela letzorech tashmisha. Rebbe Nechemyah has a very restrictive opinion with vessel movement, and he says that vessels are not allowed to be moved other than for what they have been designed for. But I, says Rava, I'm not going to rule like Rebbe Nechemyah, and therefore a kli shemlachto leisur can be used for other purposes, assuming, of course, providing they are mutter activities. Esve, another challenge. The source is a bit abbreviated. You can see it, it's a short source in the frame. Vishovin. Vishovin is, they are in agreement. This is a reference to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in Maseches Beitza, argue about the use of an Ali. Ali is a chopping board. Can you use a chopping board on Yom Tov? Beis Hillel says you're allowed. Well, let's just say there's a machlokis, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, whether or not you're allowed to use it for chopping meat on Yom Tov. What is the story with regard to the movement of the Ali after you finished using it for Yom Tov purposes, for, let's say, Yom Tov meat purposes? So there is agreement. Even Beis Hillel, who had allowed the use of the chopping board for meat chopping, the source here says, "Veshavan sheim katzav alav basar," that if you did chop the meat, so you finished its mutter use, she'osur letatalo, you cannot move it around anymore. So you have this chopping board, which is a kli shemlachto liisur, and Rashi explains because it's also used for chopping wheat into small sections, which is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Everyone agrees you cannot move the ali around anymore. So it's an example of a kli shemlachto liisur is also for use, even if it might be for some heter use. Again, a challenge to Rabbah. Answer, sovar l'shnuyelei. Rabbah thought to say, well, ke Rebbe Nechemyah, this source is in accordance with that isolated opinion that I don't rule like, the opinion of Rebbe Nechemyah. However, kevan deshama leha d'yama Rav Chinina bar Shalmia mishmei derav, when Rabbah heard this teaching, the following teaching in the name of Rav, hakol moidim besichi zairi u'mezori, everyone agrees, even the Rabbonin who argue with Rebbe Nechemyah, even the Rabbonin who allow the movement of vessels for purposes other than which they were designed, even they who are more lenient than Rebbe Nechemyah, agree to stringency when it comes to these vessels, Sichi, Zairi, U'mezori. Rashi explains what they are, and he has two opinions. One is they are vessels used by tzaboyin. Tzaboyin, from where tzeva, dyes. So it's dyer's vessels. A second shot he has is they are weaver's vessels. He prefers the first shot, though. So Rav teaches that everyone agrees regarding these vessels, kevan dekupid olayhu, since the owner, whether it be the dyer or the weaver, is very concerned with the preservation of these vessels' cleanliness and straightness, meaning that they shouldn't bend out of shape, miyachid luhu makom, they set them aside in a specific place, meaning they are, Rashi's expression, mekatzelem biyadayim, he pushes them aside willfully, knowingly, to put them out of service for anything other than what they are designed for. Hachinami, so too with the Ali and the Maducha, miyachid luhu makom, they are set aside as well. And when we speak about something being set aside, let's see, deliberately and knowingly, out of some kind of interest in the regarding the preservation of these vessels for their specific purpose, everyone agrees that they become muktzeh and are usur to move. However, other vessels, common vessels that the owner is not so concerned with their pristine preservation, such as a common scissors or pen or whatever else, they being kli shemalachto le iser, if you want to use them for a heter Shabbos activity, go right ahead. So that these last two questions that were featured in triangles are really not questions, because these are cases of something that someone was mekaseh b'yadayim because of their concern with the vessel's preservation. In halacha terms, when you learn from halacha svarim, you might see the expression muktzeh machmas chisaron kis, and that would be a term that's appropriate for these the items featured in these last triangled sources. We continue in the Gemara because of the double underlines that we see, more pshatim in the cornice of the Mishnah. Itma Rabbi Chia bar Abba Omar Rabbi Yochanan, cornice shel zahovim shoninu. The Mishnah that spoke about the use of a cornice for cracking nuts, it's a goldsmith's hammer. Rav Shamon bar Abba Omar cornice shel basomim shoninu, a spice merchant's hammer. In the Rashi, Kornis shel zahovim, Rashi says, Afapi de kopid ole tsas. Even though the goldsmith is somewhat concerned with the preservation of his hammer, shitzor she cholok, it's important for him for the hammer to be smooth, lerade tasin, to bang out gold plates. Afinu hachi, kevon since it's very easily repaired. If the hammer, the goldsmith's hammer, develops any imperfection, any roughness, so a mere bang on the anvil will smooth out the hammer. So since it's an easily repaired thing, the owner doesn't become so overly concerned with it. The kol shekein shel shar napochim Rabba, and all the more so with regard to blacksmith's hammers that are all the more so, you'll see, easily repaired, or probably, let's say more accurately, their initial preservation on the part of the owner is not of such concern. In other words, a blacksmith's hammer doesn't have to really be smooth for it to be functional. And as we're saying now, that even a goldsmith's hammer, where there is an interest in its smoothness being preserved, nevertheless, the owner, according to Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba, the owner isn't mekatzeh b'yadayim because it's so easily repaired. The fourth pshat, Rav Shamon bar Abba Amar, kurnis shel basomim shoninu. The kurnis that's used by a spice maker is the type of hammer that the Mishnah is referring to. Now, that being said, we want to know what would their opinions be with regard to the other one's type hammer. Man di Omar de Basomim, he who says that you can use on Shabbos a spiceman's hammer, kol shekein de zahovim, all the more so he would allow the use of a goldsmith's hammer. However, Man Yomer Shel Zahovim, Rav Chiya bar Abba, who allowed the use of a goldsmith's hammer for cracking of nuts, that would be the extent. Aval de basamim kopid olayu. But spice makers, they are very concerned with their hammers that they shouldn't become, Rashi says, Shelo Yimas, they shouldn't become dirty or filthy with other substances. Spices are delicate and have to be carefully watched from mixing with foreign substances. And a hammer that's used a spiceman's hammer that would be used for cracking nuts will become dirty, and he would not allow for that. And therefore, the spiceman's hammer is something that the owner sets aside, and therefore that, according to this opinion, namely Reb Chiya bar Abba, Amar Reb Yochanan, he might allow a goldsmith's hammer for cracking nuts, but not a spiceman's hammer. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.